My Social Security payroll contribution will go up, as will Donald's, assuming he can't figure out how to get out of it. But what we want to do is to replenish the Social Security Trust Fund by making sure that we have sufficient resources.
That from the third and final debate between Republican Donald Trump and Democrat Hillary Clinton, a Trump comment that went viral among Clinton supporters. Welcome back to America Votes 2016. It's U.S. election night coverage from the Voice of America. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Jim Stevenson.
And I'm Lori London. We are joined in studio by VOA national correspondent Jim Malone. We've got VOA's Doug Bernard here updating us in the Results Center, state-by-state results. And we've got social media reporter Andrew Palcheski here with us. And we also have a team of correspondents all over the country and around the world.
Here we go. We've got wall-to-wall coverage for you until we find out who our next president will be. And it may be quite a long evening from the way things are shaping up. We are live through our many affiliates worldwide, online at voanews.com. We're streaming live on the VOA Now Facebook page. Why don't you join us there if you like? All of this until we find out who will be the 45th president of the United States, which party is going to be controlling each of the two houses of Congress. Polls are in all of but six U.S. states, and we'll bring you the results as they come in. It's time for us to check out where we stand at the moment with our own Doug Bernard in the VOA Results Center.
Well, here we go indeed. So as of 10, it's now 10:02 Eastern time, all but four states, I believe, have closed their polls. The only states at this point that have open polls are Alaska, California, Hawaii, and Washington. So ideally, you'd think that we'd start getting calls. Now here, just to review for people. Here are the calls that the Associated Press and VOA has been reporting so far. These are the following states that have been called for Mr. Trump: Indiana, Kentucky, Alabama, South Carolina, West Virginia, Mississippi, Missouri, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Arkansas, Louisiana, and Nebraska. Only really two new ones there since our last 9 o'clock hour, those being Nebraska and Louisiana, and just because the polls have closed there. For the states so far going for that have been called for Secretary Clinton, they include Vermont, Connecticut, Delaware, the District of Columbia, Illinois, Maryland, Massachusetts, New Jersey, Rhode Island, and that would be it. Now, that basically puts us at this point, as we do our tally here at VOA. Mr. Trump has 148 electoral votes. Secretary Clinton has 104 electoral votes. Now, that being said, it would make it sound like, you know, he's leading. And at this point, Mr. Trump is clearly leading in the polls. But what we are waiting for, and as you alluded to, and as others here, Jim Malone and others have said, there are a number of key battleground states that hold a lot of electoral votes, both critically important for both campaigns. Among those states are Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, Virginia, Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania. You could probably put in one or two others in there. That's enough. And the results are coming in, but they are still, all of those states, the AP is reporting, are still too close to call. And as I remember our colleague Jim Malone said just a little while ago, this looks like it could be a long night.
Well, it is quite an impressive list of states that you have rattled off there. A lot of these states were states that were expected to go in the direction that they have so far.
That's exactly right. No real big surprises so far. We're waiting on the surprises, as a matter of fact. We're waiting on those states like perhaps Michigan, which for a long time pundits and analysts had been putting square in the Clinton camp. But now, as you look at the results coming out, now there's still partial results, but Donald Trump clearly putting on a vigorous effort in that state in terms of votes. The same is true in Florida and North Carolina. The states that have been called, it sounds like a lot. If you look at the map on our webpage, voanews.com, it looks like a great amount of red there. But consider that many of these states aren't really that populated. So once we get into the Floridas and the North Carolinas and Virginias, and this, we haven't even counted California and the whole West Coast yet. So those numbers are going to tip fairly quickly one direction or the other.
We'd like to remind our audience, many of whom are listening around the world, about how this process works. It's not about the popular vote so much as it is state by state and the populations within those states.
That's exactly right. And we've been noting here, and I will pull up the most recent numbers from the Associated Press. But what the AP is doing is they're kind of looking at the sum. So this is actually, these are the most, these are figures that are just in 2 minutes ago. Secretary Clinton has earned 27 million votes, just a little bit over. Mr. Trump has earned 28 million votes, just a little bit over. Now, people may think, well, gosh, it sounds like Mr. Trump is winning because he's got more votes. But it's important to remember that in the United States, the 50 individual states plus the District of Columbia run elections on their own, and they allocate their votes depending on who wins that state. So you could conceivably, and we've seen this in the past, we only have to go back to 2000. Then George W. Bush won fewer votes nationally than Senator Al Gore, but George W. Bush won the election because he won that 271 electoral votes. So he crossed the finish line first.
Well, also, we have not only the two candidates for president, but control
right.
of Congress,
right.
which is extremely crucial for any president to advance his or possibly her agenda. The House of Representatives seems to be remaining in Republican control, but the Senate
yes.
now is up for grabs. Four races could tip this chamber into Democratic control. What do we know so far?
That's exactly right. It does look, it does seem likely that Republicans will retain control of the House of Representatives. We'll go through the numbers. I'll go through the numbers in just a moment, but they may lose a few seats. I mean, they may actually, their numbers, their majority may be lessened a little bit, but they'll still hold the majority. Now, the Senate is a very different case. There are a number of races that Democrats had been hoping to perform well in, states such as Pennsylvania, Florida, Indiana. They have not performed well there. The Republicans have all been won those states, the Republican Senate candidates. But there are still a number of Senate candidates, races still outstanding, Illinois, Wisconsin among them, and a few others as well. So Democrats are really, I think, hoping to at least get to 50 votes in the Senate chamber. If they hit 50 and Secretary Clinton is elected president, that means Tim Kaine, as vice president, will be president of the Senate. He'll break all ties, so giving the Democrats effective control of that chamber.
All right, much, much more to come. We'll be here through
yes.
the duration. Doug Bernard in the VOA Results Center. Thank you.
In the long history of the world, only a few generations have been granted the role.
President John F. Kennedy, that's from his inaugural speech 66 years ago, one of the more inspiring presidential speeches that we will hear throughout the evening. Inaugural speech on January 20th, we'll be hearing perhaps more memorable quotes to come when we have a new president joining us. For more perspective on all of this and what is happening this evening, VOA national correspondent Jim Malone is here.
Well, first of all, 66 years ago, I'm 61 and I heard that speech.
Right.
So I think we mean 56 years
56.
Ago.
Did I say 66?
You scared me for a minute. I thought I knew it was going to be a long night, but I didn't know I'd age that quickly.
It's terrible when someone puts a 6 instead of a 5 in front of that number.
Right.
It makes you a year older or 10 years older. What are you making of what's happening here?
We are a very divided country,
mm-hmm.
and that is showing up in bold red, white, and blue colors on this electoral map this evening. Donald Trump is running ahead of some of his Republican predecessors like Mitt Romney in certain parts of the country.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing better in certain areas. And if we look at some of the key states that are outstanding, and this will tell us a lot about who's going to be the next president, obviously we're looking closely at Florida, 95% of the vote in. Trump has a sizable lead now. It's over 100,000 votes. North Carolina, 82% of the vote in. Trump has a sizable lead, 120,000 vote lead in North Carolina. Ohio, he's got a very big lead over Clinton. Now, the state of Virginia, which many Democrats had figured would be in their column. Trump had been leading through most of the night, but in the last half hour, Clinton has pulled ahead. thanks, no doubt, to votes from Northern Virginia, which is more Democratic. Why am I going through these states? Well, it's like a jigsaw puzzle. And Trump needs to win all the swing or battleground states he can to have any chance of getting to 270. Right now, he's doing better than expected in some ways. So he may be on track, and we don't know. I mean, Florida could go very late. So it's although it's early, he does seem to have a lead there that's pretty solid. North Carolina, he has a big lead. So the good news for Clinton is she's come back in Virginia. But in two other key states, and Doug mentioned these states, Michigan and Wisconsin, it's still early, but Trump has leads in both those states. Now, those are what we would call blue states, Democratic states. They've been Democratic since 1992, at least. They've voted for Democratic nominees. If Trump can steal one of those, take one of those away from the Democrats, he might be in a position to win the presidency.
What about Pennsylvania?
Pennsylvania right now is trending for Clinton. She's got a healthy lead there. That was another state that Trump has gone to a lot, campaigned a lot. One of the things we look at the divide here is this white working class vote that Trump is relying on. And it seems like it's coming out in big numbers tonight. So that's to his benefit. Hillary Clinton and the Democrats rely more on college-educated voters. They rely on minority voters, African-Americans, Latinos, and Asian-Americans, which is, by the way, the fastest-growing minority in the country.
You know, it's interesting because for weeks now, we've been hearing, as the polls seem to favor Hillary Clinton more, we've been hearing a lot from Donald Trump about how this it's rigged. Will that subside if he wins? If he wins, will it be something he will not say anymore?
I would guess he wouldn't, because he'll be saying a lot of other things.
Right.
But I think we're a long way from knowing. We have too many close states right now, and the electoral map is being scrambled. We also have states out west we have to look at very carefully. Nevada, Colorado.
Yes.
All right. We appreciate it. VOA National Correspondent Jim Malone keeping an eye on this very close election.
Before we examine where the candidates stand on some of the biggest issues of this campaign, we will briefly look at who they are. We'll go with ladies first. Hillary Clinton has made history many times, the most recent being the first woman to win the presidential nomination of a major U.S. political party. But will the former First Lady, U.S. Senator, and Secretary of State transform to Madam President in another history-making move? Opinion polls have shown Clinton is both beloved and despised. VOA's Carolyn Pursuti is taking a closer look at the life of the woman both supporters and Donald Trump himself agree is a fighter.
Hillary Clinton made history last July when she became the first woman to run for president from a major political party.
I accept your nomination for President of the United States.
69-year-old Hillary Clinton has led a life of history-making firsts. At Wellesley College in 1969, she was the first student to ever speak at the school's commencement. At Yale Law School, she met Bill Clinton. They married and had daughter Chelsea. Bill Clinton was elected president in 1992. Hillary Rodham Clinton bucked the traditional First Lady's role by staying politically active. Journalist Ron Fournier has covered the Clintons throughout their entire careers.
She knew what the long-term plan was for them as a couple politically, and kept her eye on that.
But controversy followed them. Persistent stories of President Clinton's infidelities peaked with the Monica Lewinsky sex scandal. The First Lady was the subject of other investigations. The public grew skeptical, says Stephen Wayne of Georgetown University.
There are a number of people who don't think that she is honest and trustworthy.
But making history again in 2001, Hillary Clinton became the first First Lady to win political office as a U.S. Senator from New York. She voted for the Iraq War in 2003 and for the Immigration Reform Act of 2007.
We need comprehensive immigration reform with a path to citizenship.
President Obama appointed his former rival as Secretary of State. Clinton traveled to 112 countries, the most ever visited by the highest U.S. diplomat. But Clinton came under fire for the attack on a diplomatic facility in Benghazi, Libya, which killed four Americans. In the 2016 presidential race, she found herself running against another scandal that would torment her until the bitter end. Last year, news broke that Clinton may have used a private email account for classified government information. The FBI cleared her in July. The emails became her biggest challenge to reaching the ultimate first of her life, to be the first woman president. Carolyn Pursuti, VOA News, Washington.
Well, not only Hillary Clinton made news, but celebrity businessman Donald Trump has been an unusual candidate for president. For that, VOA's Katherine Gibson explains why and how he became the Republican Party nominee.
The beginning of the unlikely candidacy of the Republican Party's presidential nominee last June, a businessman who had never held public office announcing he had his sights set on the White House.
I am officially running for president of the United States, and we are going to make our country great again.
Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump. Born in Queens, New York, Trump grew up in a wealthy family headed by his real estate developer father, Fred, a key early influence, says political psychologist Bart Rossi.
His father was very authoritarian, very demanding, the boss. And of course, Donald picked up these traits and these characteristics.
The young Trump sought success in the high-stakes world of Manhattan real estate. His career featured high-profile wins. Developing the iconic Trump Tower while displaying a talent for personal branding and a savvy sense of media that would later help his campaign. Attorney Edward Mermelstein.
Doing business in New York requires a very strong person, very motivated person, and he is very much a New York businessman.
There were also notable failures. Casinos that would later go bankrupt, and a real estate crash that hit his personal fortune hard. And with three marriages, two very public divorces, and five children who have been key players in his campaign, Trump's personal life has received as much attention as his business dealings. But the Donald bounced back in the 2000s with a hit reality TV show and a voice on the national political stage, claiming President Obama wasn't born in the United States. An involvement Donald Trump would later deny during his presidential campaign.
Hillary Clinton and her campaign of 2008 started the birther controversy. I finished it.
Trump beat out 16 Republican opponents for the nomination with a message that resonated with voter concerns, says the co-author of Trump Revealed, Michael Cranish.
He's tapped into this great angst that's been out there for quite some time.
But he also tested boundaries with his comments about Mexicans and religion. The larger-than-life businessman with a brash attitude branded himself with a new title that he hopes will win on Election Day, Populist Politician.
I am with you. I will fight for you, and I will win for you.
Katherine Gibson in Washington, VOA News.
VOA's live election coverage continues as we check in with some of our correspondents around the country and the world. VOA's David Byrd is here in the nation's capital, roaming the streets. David, tell us exactly where you are and what you're seeing.
Well, Jim, I'm right outside the White House on Pennsylvania Avenue. We're here with a small crowd of folks. There's some more gathering as we're standing here than there was the last time I talked to you. There's some folks in Lafayette Park, which is the park just north of the White House. And we're going to be talking to some folks. One young gentleman is wearing a shirt full of Bernie Sanders buttons. So we're going to be talking to him in just a minute on Facebook Live. So be sure to check that out. Also, we did talk with one young lady who is from California, and she was telling me that student debt, she just graduated college, and she's telling me that student debt is an issue for a lot of her classmates. In her case, her parents helped her financially, but relief of her school debts or of school debts is an issue that, of course, Democrat Hillary Clinton has emphasized that she wants to help students relieve that. Right now, it's just, you know, if you can imagine, it's kind of a cool night, a little bit overcast. We're on Pennsylvania Avenue, right where the inaugural parade goes by the White House. If anybody in our audience has seen the inaugural parade on television, they're actually building the reviewing stand behind me and standing probably about 100 meters from the north door of the White House, where the official guests are received and where the president comes out when he wants to get into the motorcade. So, but it's a, you know, it's a subdued crowd, a lot of people looking at their phones, a lot of people wondering what the latest election results are. And that's about it. That's what we've got going on here.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, David. Tell those folks on their phones that they can go to voanews.com and their VOA mobile app, and they can follow all of the action right here. We'll check back in with you, David, just a little bit later.
All right. Well, one of the most divisive issues between the candidates has been the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare. Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump have very different ideas about how to provide health care and health insurance coverage for Americans. The law is facing a number of problems as a number of insurers have bowed out of the program and consumers face premium increases. Donald Trump's main position is to repeal the law.
Together, we're going to deliver real change that once again puts America first. That begins with immediately repealing and replacing the disaster known as Obamacare. It's just been announced that Americans are going to experience another massive double-digit hike. Now, they said 25%. Forget 20. You'll take 25%. It's going to be 60, 70, 80, 90%.
While Hillary Clinton says she is going to fix it, she's here answering a question at the second presidential debate. Let's listen.
I want very much to save what works and is good about the Affordable Care Act. But we've got to get costs down. We've got to provide some additional help to small businesses so that they can afford to provide health insurance. But if we repeal it, as Donald has proposed, and start over again, all of those benefits I just mentioned are lost to everybody. Not just people who get their health insurance on the exchange. And then we would have to start all over again. Right now, we are at 90% health insurance coverage. That's the highest we've ever been in our country.
Secretary Clinton,
so I want us to get to 100%, but get costs down and keep quality up.
All right. Well, joining us now for more on all things presidential in this campaign is Vice President of the Greenberg Quinlan Rosner Research Group, Elizabeth Sina. Welcome to the program and thank you for being with us. You've worked on several political campaigns, healthcare, one of the big issues that you're very familiar with. What do you see as the strongest argument from both of these candidates?
Well, I think Donald Trump really sort of tapped into the dissatisfaction that was being felt by the electorate. In part, you know, he tapped into the dissatisfaction with Obamacare. You know, I feel that the announcement of increased premiums that came out just a couple of weeks before Election Day really sort of led and fed into his followers' dissatisfaction with Obamacare. While Clinton was really arguing that Obamacare wasn't perfect, but it did need some changes, but that more people are insured now than they were before it passed, which is a really great thing for the country.
And what do you think would happen to the law if he attempted to repeal it? How easy would it be, or would it be something that would really need an act of Congress to happen?
Well, I think it'll take Congress. I mean, there are many appealing parts of the law that Republicans also like. You know, young people being able to stay under 26ers, being able to stay on their parents' insurance, women not being able to be charged more, the pre-existing conditions. So there are parts of it that are really appealing across partisan lines. And so, you know, if Donald Trump became president, and I think that's a big if, I mean, it's still really early in the night, and if there is a both chambers are held by the Republicans, and again, that's if we're still waiting for the Senate, I mean, it could be very politically unpopular to repeal those parts of the law, and so they would have to tread very carefully. So simply just a straight repeal of the law would be very difficult.
Has he talked about what he would do if he replaced it?
No. In fact, you know, the Republicans haven't come up with another option for it. They keep saying that they would come up with something, but they haven't been able to put anything forward. And that was even the case while Obamacare was going through Congress and being voted on. The Republicans never had a viable option for health care.
So what would happen to the millions of Americans that are now covered under that health insurance law if that was repealed? Would they just be on their own?
I think that is a big unknown. I mean, you know, you have these state exchanges and you have the federal exchanges. Some of the states could continue to operate, you know, independently. The question is what happens to the federal exchange. I think that really is an unknown.
All right. Well, we appreciate your perspective, Elizabeth Sina with the Greenberg Quinlan Rosner Research. Thank you so much. We appreciate you being with us.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
You're listening to America Votes 2016 on The Voice of America.
But as I leave you, I want you to know, just think how much you're going to be missing. You don't have Nixon to kick around anymore. Because, gentlemen, this is my last press conference. And it will be one in which...
A little bit of Richard Nixon speaking with the media as he conceded his presidential bid against John F. Kennedy back in 1960. Nixon eventually did return for another try, and he was elected president twice in 1968 and 1972 before resigning 2 years later in the wake of the Watergate scandal. Well, joining us is Jeffrey Skelly, associate editor of Sabatow's Crystal Ball at the University of Virginia Center for Politics. Welcome, Mr. Skelly.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
We just heard a portion of Richard Nixon's concession speech back in 1960. Donald Trump has indicated that he might not concede if Hillary Clinton emerges the winner of this current race for the White House. Have we ever seen an election where there was a clear winner and the other candidate refused to concede?
Well, no, we haven't. But, I mean, the way things are kind of going tonight, I mean, it's very possible Hillary Clinton may be conceding to Donald Trump. So he may never have to do that. You know, this has been a very surprising night so far, given what we saw in the polls.
It has been an amazing night so far, and I guess we could say that it's a much better performance from Donald Trump than many of the analysts have expected.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, look, you know, part of analyzing this stuff is looking at data, and there have been some unbelievable shifts in vote in a lot of places around the country. I mean, I just think about Virginia. Virginia is closer than I would expect because the biggest place in the state, Fairfax County, I mean, Hillary Clinton might win it by 35 points. And to put that in perspective, Barack Obama only won it by 20 in 2008 when he had a better year, you know, nationally and in Virginia. But yet, Clinton may end up winning Virginia by a smaller margin than Obama did in 2012. And, you know, I think part of it is, And this has meaning for other contests around the country, and the other states in the Electoral College, lower black turnout. You know, that has ended up, I think, putting Wisconsin and Michigan in danger for Clinton. Pennsylvania, maybe, though I do think that the suburbs of Philadelphia may end up holding things on for her there. But, you know, she has to be genuinely concerned the way things are shaping up in Wisconsin and Michigan in particular.
Well, at the moment, with such a tight race, and if it is to be contested by one of the candidates, how would they go about doing that? I mean, what sort of procedure would they have to take to contest an election?
Well, you would need some kind of, you would need some kind of major error or an actual recount that's in a state that's extremely close. You know, they can't really do it on their own unless they want to, you know, just kind of say it doesn't count or something. Mm-hmm. There needs to be some kind of causal action to truly contest an election. I mean, you would need a situation like Florida in 2000 where there was a recount because it was so incredibly close there.
And that went all the way to the Supreme Court.
Right, and, you know, this wouldn't necessarily, you know, in this scenario, this, hypothetical scenario, that would not necessarily happen. It would have to involve a whole lot of things, and I tend to think that that's probably not going to happen. But then again, I think me, just like a lot of other people, thought that Clinton was, you know, more likely than not going to win. And so look where that got me. So,
well, it has been an evening full of surprises, and I suspect we have a few more coming our way. Jeffrey Skelly, Associate Editor of Sabatow's Crystal Ball,